Your arm, your sword arm, drawn up with scars. He touched the hollow of her elbow and her armpit. Pox shivered. I see you do understand. We need not be in haste to show you, then. He turned to the guards. Tie that one and leave her. We will want her later.
No,
said Pox. No? You dare give orders here? Are you agreeing that our master has dominion?
I am not. I am telling you not to hurt her more. She has done you no harm.
What of that? It amuses us and teaches you to know your helplessness. You can save her only by accepting our master as yours.
Pox prayed, trying to convey what healing she could across that space, as she had with Garrus. But she had known Garrus, touched him with healing before. This girl was a stranger. She felt a comforting touch on her own head, as if a firm but gentle hand cradled it for a moment, but nothing that let her suspect she had healed the girl. She could not see the girl's face where she lay, but the sobs quieted, and the heaving back was still. For some time after that, she was left hanging before the crowd. She noticed that it ebbed and flowed, and individuals came and left, to return after an interval. From time to time the priests came to her again, repetitions of the torments already begun. Once they tried to rouse the servant girl and found her dead. They dragged her body aside. Pox could not be sure of the passage of time. Pain and thirst confused her. Whenever she fell into a doze, they roused her, until she longed for rest more than anything. Then the crowd thickened again. The guards lit new lamps and set pungent incense burning in a row of censers. The smoke swirled back and forth. Pox watched it, half-tranced by its intricate patterns that seemed to make pictures in the haze. She had managed not to listen to the priest's words, even reciting to herself the 10 fingers of the Code of Gerd. But now, as they approached her again, her concentration wavered. Her belly knotted. Her tongue seemed too large for her mouth. 2 guards cut the thongs that held her wrists and shoved. She fell forward, slamming into the floor with stunning force. She was just aware when they cut the ankle thongs and her feet thudded down. The relief in her shoulders lasted only a few moments. Guards yanked her up by the arms and dragged her to the rough stone altar that centered the platform. They bound her again by wrist and ankles, with a rough-hewn stone rasping her lacerated back. The taller priest laid a single flat stone on her belly. He stood back, and the second priest laid another similar stone on her chest. Pox waited. The stones were uncomfortable, but not painful, except where they lay on the burns. She was too relieved to have her head supported at last, and the weight off her arms. Then returning blood seemed to dip her hands in fire for a few minutes. The priests called the crowd forward.
We will show you a torment that lasts long only with strong sacrifices, such as this one, said the first. We will add weight to those stones, a heavy link of chain at a time until she can scarcely draw breath. Then time alone becomes the tormentor. In the end, her breath will fail, and you will help. As you have given to the master, so in your name will the links be added.
And each person who came by dropped a coin or so into a pot, naming the number. The guards fed a heavy chain from its coil onto the stones, link by link, 1 or 2 or 3 at a time, as the worshipper gave. 1 heavy man in a silk robe gave a large silver, and 12 links at once dropped onto Pox's chest. The weight forced her back into the stone.